A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 23rd April 2024, Tuesday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Namo Bunsi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dijawang Pusa. Namo Dijawang Pusa. Namo Dijawang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Padipa puja ganna stavarappa dittena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena Dopenahang sukang hina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena metena ca hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pali parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now you chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of flowers. Fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jam. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. So tonight we got two new guests. One of them is Sister Ingbi, long time Kaya Mita. And she has been helping us quite a lot too, especially on the Pali and other aspects of the Dhamma work. The other one is Cindy, her good friend. Cindy helped to provide transport for Ingvi. So the synergy, because of that, she get to attend our Dhamma session. So every of this session, when you have the understanding, you really can develop a lot of wholesomeness and benefit from it. Not only through the offerings, even rejoicing, developing understanding, almost all the 10 meritorious actions can be developed. Especially through rejoicing, listening to the Dhamma, strengthening our view, then sharing merit, transfer merit, making aspiration, and doing all the whatever appropriate Dhamma activity and work to help out in the sasana, and also for Kayamita's benefit. So all these are very wholesome. Okay, so maybe for the benefit of Cindy, I need to explain a bit. Our Dhamma classes have 3 types of session. The main weekly one. Today is supposed to be Tuesday class, but this one is an ongoing sharing on this wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. You understand Mandarin, Cindy? A bit. Okay. Heard of this sutta, not Lotus? Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. So this one is maybe not so easy for normal people to follow, but don't worry. I will normally try to find some important topic where we can delve into it and create the understanding of the teaching. But mainly this Lotus Flower Sutta or Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing is to help people who wants to develop better understanding of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way, the supreme vehicle. But in between, we can also share the Dhamma. Okay, so this is a typical class where we have our pre-puja, followed by the sharing of the whatever teaching from the Lotus Sutta. Hopefully today I can get a topic that can benefit more Kayamita who are maybe not so well cultivated in the understanding. I can also elaborate on the preliminary teachings Dhamma. Then after that, we will have about 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Today, Tuesday, we have the meditation first. We will have 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation first. This awareness-based meditation is different from the normally thought-based meditation where you use your thinking mind, the mundane mind, the thought process to develop the meditation. That's why we call it thought-based. But living being got no choice because the only instrument they are familiar with is the thinking process, the thought. So without thought, it's as if they cannot live life, they cannot do anything. Everything they want to know or do, they need the thought process. That's why when it comes to meditation, which is the opposite, the development of the inner awareness, sati, mindfulness, which is just an awareness before the arising of thought, most people find it very difficult. So ours is going direct into it because after a long period of sharing and teaching, most Kayamita have developed the understanding. But if you are still new, you cannot understand, don't worry. You will on the way back and ask Amy. Sister Amy, she is good, she can help you. Then later on, as you listen more and more to the sharing, you will understand quite fast. Then wait for the new book. The new book will let you understand very fast. The coming book, Ultimate Enlightenment or Ultimate Realization, to transcend life. That one is a very comprehensive and very good book. Then I added in two versions of the awareness-based meditation instruction so as to make it clear, very, very clear for even new people to develop the understanding. Then the other class is the Thursday class. A Thursday class one is more interesting in the sense that we are following that book straight from the heart. You need Dhamma code compiled by our side, then we get it printed into a book form. So that one is ongoing. The unit code has a lot of very profound teaching, and a lot of our late new book, the most recent one before the coming one, they are both from the unit code. And after that, we had the Sunday class. Now, Sunday class is more suitable for new people, for people who wants to understand the teaching and people who wants to attend the retreat, the annual retreat. This year, we will be having it end of August. End of August. So that one, we will follow this book, the Heart Sutta, short note as compiled by me, and I have given Cindy a copy. You go back, you can log into Zoom if you cannot make it to the Sunday. Sunday normally is Zoom session. Most people find it more conducive to join from home because most family, Sunday is a day where it's a family day. So you need to be together. So log into Zoom. Then you can learn all the beautiful, more basic preliminary teachings of the Buddha. The Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, and the spin-off from there, or the essential Dhamma. So that one also same. We will have two sessions. Dhamma followed by meditation. Yeah, that one is a 3-hour session, Sunday 3 to 6. So after Dhamma sharing from the Heart Sutta, we will have 45 minutes of meditation, awareness based. Then the last 45 minutes is usually Q&A, question and answer, meditation reporting, and Dhamma sharing. So that completes the typical weekly session. And in between is sometimes we will have Buddhist activity like house dana or whatever, where we also share them. Then we also have our gathering of Kayamita end of the year. Then spiritual trips. So our coming spiritual trip is very fast already. I think it's about a month's time, if I'm not wrong. So this time around, I think will be more simple because most of us are Kayamita who has joined before. So we will use the WhatsApp platform to communicate and develop all the sharing. So in between, I think Pamasuri already back from Taiwan, also retreat. So we will get her to help. Maybe get a few people to help her. Song, I think you may have to come in to take care of the common fund of the spiritual tree. Wu Tai San, the common fund. So he Pang Mang Zhou treasurer. Then we will discuss with Pamasuri on how to set it up. This time I will use our Kayamita fund to donate more because our fund is still healthy. Then For those who are going, I think we can just collect a nominal sum. Because some of you, I realize when you are there, you want to offer your own some more. So no need to burden most people with too much of this. Yeah. But you want to offer more to the common pool fund, it's up to you. Yeah. So with that, maybe we will have our meditation. Yeah. So we will off the light and we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Yeah. So for Siddhi, if you don't know how to develop the awareness-based meditation, never mind. You do whatever you are familiar with. Yeah. Then later on, you learn. You can ask Amy, then she can give you some guideline. And I can also read to you based on the book that is coming. So maybe that will help more. I will read it out slowly so that cultivator can develop the understanding. This one is based on our 22nd February 2024 awareness-based meditation instruction. Eh? You listen, it will help you. Eh? As usual, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We are off the line for you all to proceed with the meditation. This awareness-based meditation is very important because it can help us develop the inner awareness or sati within. There are four support to develop this awareness-based meditation, and they are relax body and mind, maintain awareness, stabilize the awareness, and trust. As explained before, the silent mind without thought is awareness or sati itself. So mindfulness is basically an awareness before the knowing. When you are aware before the knowing, the thought process without thought, that awareness itself is sati or mindfulness. Therefore, we need to develop the awareness and allow it to stabilize. That is why the second support after relaxation of body and mind is to maintain awareness. However, it is very difficult to maintain awareness. Maintaining awareness does not involve thinking or creating more thinking or thoughts and aggregates of mind. It simply means being aware of whatever arises at your sixth sense door, whether it's hearing, smell, taste, touch, sight, or thought consciousness, and allowing them to pass through without further engagement. After that, refrain from continuing to think. After becoming aware, if you proceed to perceive and engage in thinking, the mundane mind will arise. If you constantly do that, it develops into habitual tendencies, eventually leading to becoming heedless, lost in thought. That is why maintaining awareness can be challenging. To maintain awareness means to refrain from thinking, knowing, and not going beyond the pure awareness or pure perception of what happened at our senses. After perceiving through the hearing consciousness or other senses, such as smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness, simply remain silent and maintain awareness, then let it naturally fade away. Just be aware without attempting to know or engage in any activity. Relax, maintain awareness, and allow the mind to settle down. The third support following the relaxation of body and mind and maintaining awareness is to stabilize the awareness by continuously allowing it to remain in that state of awareness without thought. By doing so, your awareness will stabilize, allowing you to develop a very good and profound understanding of what this inherent awareness nature within is all about. Realizing this pure awareness nature, which is beyond thought and beyond time, is very important. However, this pure awareness nature is closely intertwined with our thoughts, as thought arises very quickly from this pure awareness nature. This is why many people lacking proper understanding cannot realize pure awareness within. They are accustomed to their mundane thinking and thought process. They rely heavily on the thought process and they think a lot, as they have been so conditioned to do so since birth. Without thought, they feel they are unable to function or live life. These factors contribute to why most people cannot develop this inner awareness to be mindful or to be aware most of the time. Understand this and you will make progress. Now I will allow you to develop this awareness within on your own. Remember the first three of the four support. Relax the body and mind. Maintain awareness without trying to know or do anything. And simply just aware, and then stabilize your awareness. For those of you who are accustomed to using specific object of meditation, such as anapanasati, which is the mindfulness of the in and out breath, or any other object of meditation that you are familiar with to meditate, you can use it as a skillful means to anchor your sati or mindfulness or awareness. It is your choice. However, you can grasp the understanding. You can just use the four support that I had taught you, especially the first three support, to develop the mindfulness or the awareness within yourself. It is much faster. Then you can stay there to stabilize awareness if you can do that. Stay there to stabilize awareness, full stop. You can do that. You will progress and understand all the Buddha's teaching easily. To be able to develop this mindfulness or awareness within is very important. To maintain that state of awareness means you must stay in that state of awareness without thought for as long as you can. But most people cannot do so. They need a lot of training and understanding to develop that state of awareness. For those who have done it before, it is very easy. Not a problem at all. Hopefully with faith and this understanding, you can develop the mindfulness and awareness within. Now I let you meditate on your own to develop the awareness within. For those who have already trained their mind and their awareness have stabilized, they can move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your inner nature to develop the meditative movement. Silence everything and let the awareness stay at the heart area. Then do not try to do anything through verbalization. Do not try to know and create perception or thinking. Just let the awareness nature move on its own and let it detect whatever on its own. Whatever happened, just let it be. You must trust your own awareness nature within to do the meditative movement. Do not allow the thought, the memory, and the thinking to interfere. All these are the mundane aspects of the thinking mind. The mundane mind is not your pure awareness nature. The pure awareness nature is responsible for the arising of thought. See clearly so that you understand. When you train your mind to develop the inner awareness until it stabilizes, you can see all those mental movements very clearly. Then you will come to understand that you have two minds. One is the true mind or the silent mind, or the awareness nature within before the rising of thought. The other one is the creation from the pure awareness nature by the karmic process. All these movements and the arising of thought are from the pure awareness nature. All these will become clear and you will develop clear understanding of them. The first real progress and success for those cultivating this awareness-based meditation is to realize this awareness nature within. The awareness nature is your true mind, your meditative mind. That is the one that can develop wisdom and understanding, and it can be awakened. Use it to insight in the phenomena, to observe silently, to develop the understanding, and to realize the inner awareness nature, then stabilize it. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chirakawalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditabmo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakkeneyo, Anjali Karaneyo, Anu terang punyang ketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. We are at the page 564 of the Sutta book. Okay, I will read the sutta. The assembly gains understanding. The assembly uttered this word. In the past, in Varanasi, the Buddha first turned the Dhamma wheel. Now he turned again the unsurpassed, magnificent Dhamma wheel. So this is the opening statement of the sutta, where the assembly gains understanding. So the commentary, we will go through. The assembly uttered this word. In the past means during Sakyamuni Buddha's time, in the deer park in Varanasi, the Buddha first turned the Dhamma wheel of the Four Noble Truths three times, expounding on dukkha, suffering, the cause of its arising, samudaya, then the cessation of suffering, which is Nirodha, and the path that leads to the cessation of dukkha, which is Marga. So this Four Noble Truths, the Buddha turned it three times. Now he turned again the unsurpassed magnificent Dhamma wheel, which means in the distant future, Sariputta, when he become a Sammasambuddha, he will also be teaching similar thing. So the commentary says, now this supreme, expansive, means very, very expansive, means far-reaching, cover very wide, extensive, very extensive. But here the word expand is E-X-P-A-N-S-A. Means expanding, not the expensive one, the E-X-P-E-N, not that one. Expanding, expensive, and wonderful Dhamma wheel is turned again as the Buddha teaches the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. So these Four Noble Truths, they are very unique. I will explain a bit. At the Theravada tradition, the preliminary teaching, nothing much is really elaborated on this teaching. The only thing that is being made known is this is the first sermon as taught by the Buddha when he decided to come out to teach or share this understanding. When he first met the five ascetics in Varanasi, where he expounded this Four Noble Truths and its three turning, and we call it the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So it is known famously as the first sermon. And the gist of it is the Four Noble Truths. But nothing much was elaborated on this Four Noble Truths and the tree turning. In fact, when you have cultivated, developed a clear understanding, you will come to know one very important point, that only Sammasambuddha can develop this ability to proclaim this teaching. This is a very unique teaching. Most of the Theravada tradition, they say, this is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, which is not wrong. But why is this teaching unique? Because within this Four Noble Truths, the Buddha used the word noble truth because these are noble truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why it's called noble truth, not any ordinary truth or special truth, or even universal truth or whatever. No. It is very specific truth that can awaken living beings and transform them into noble ones. At the time of the Buddha, noble ones are called enlightened ones. So as we all know, the whole of life existence is so immense, so extensive in its manifestation. How can there be a being who can understand all of life and existence, then also able to develop the clear understanding, not only to understand life, but to summarize all of life into just four beautiful and very unique Four Noble Truths that can explain to the world all aspects of life, whether mundane or the supramundane. So when you understand both the mundane and the supramundane, means you understand life, you know how to live life, and you will have the wisdom not to be entangled in life. Means enlightenment in the here and the now become possible. So this uniqueness of this teaching is something that only cultivator of the way can understand. That's why the first time I remember in this segmented life when my nature came in the year 1971 when I received that book, the first edition of Chief Reverend's book, What Buddhists Believe, the first edition, red color, remember, thin book. The first time I saw the Four Noble Truths, they're very strange. Within my nature, straight away, I was attracted to it. Then straight away inside, I like rejoice. This is it. No need to search anymore. At that time, my nature already knew nobody in this universe, especially a being 2,000 years ago, can really come up with such summary to explain the teaching, the secret of life, the we call the essence of understanding life and how to transcend life. Means this Four Noble Truths not only is unique in the sense that it can transform living beings and make them noble ones. Means the moment you can penetrate this truth, develop the ability to awaken to them through cultivation, then you can become noble ones or enlightened ones. Then you will understand completely the secret of life. Not only understand life, you will know how to live life, and you will know how to transcend life so that you can break free from birth and death so that there is no more future becoming after that. And our next book, the title is similar, under Unicode 105. I summarize it as the ultimate realization. Ultimate realization or ultimate enlightenment to transcend life. So in a way is quite similar. So because it's the secret of life, from this Four Noble Truths, all of life, whether mundane or supramundane, can be included. And if you have the understanding to develop the wisdom out of it, you will become a very, very unique being. Of course, you will become enlightened, noble ones. But the beauty of this teaching is way, way beyond what normal living being can understand. It not only summarizes to us all of life, both mundane and supramundane. It not only constitutes the secret of life, it also has this very unique characteristic. When you turn this Four Noble Truths three times, it can give rise to three types of corresponding wisdom. And the Buddha called it Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. And these three types of corresponding wisdom that is linked to the enlightenment, they are very, very important. Yeah. So not only it summarizes the whole of life existence, it can also let us understand clearly what life is, what existence is, and what the reality behind is. And from there, when we turn it three times, that three type of corresponding wisdom that arise will trigger off the awakening, the enlightenment. Then you will see the reality of life and existence as it is. Yeah. And through that direct seeing, you awaken. Then you are no longer deluded by what our mundane mind via Sakkaya Ditthi manifests. Yeah. Then we will understand clearly what is this so-called form and mind or human being all about, or living beings all about. Then we will understand who are we, what are we, and how we function as a human being, how our physical body with its senses together with the consciousness trapped inside, how it manifests and animates us into a living being or a human being for our case. Yeah. So all this we can develop. The only way to do it is to develop the awareness within. And to know that living being, especially we human being, have two minds, is most important, fundamental to the key understanding of his teaching. Yeah. That's why his emphasis is on sati, mindfulness. Without sati, Dhammapada verse 21, the Buddha said, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead, because without sati, without mindfulness, you cannot develop the stability of awareness to be heedful. So if you cannot be heedful in the midst of life, you cannot understand life. You will be completely lost in thought. And for those who are heedlessly lost in thought, they will be entangled with a lot of what we call karmic conditioning that leads to suffering and misery. Yeah. So without mindfulness, without awareness, a lot of things cannot be understood. And when you cannot understand all this, you cannot understand life, you cannot understand the teaching, then you will not be able to live life. That's why first thing first is to develop the understanding of life. Then from there, develop the wisdom to live life. Then to transcend life, of course, to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. So after summarizing all this, now we will go into the Four Noble Truths and its three turning in a very brief manner, because we don't have the luxury of time. So okay, I will use the whiteboard. So this Four Noble Truths, this is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. So the key word is noble. In the time of the Buddha, if you want to be a noble one, it is not like what we understand now. So in the ancient time, noble ones are like very wealthy, yeah, very educated, and very noble in all aspects of society's we should say materialistic outlook. But here, when the Buddha called it Noble Truth, it refers to spiritual understanding. Means the being that has this understanding, which is the noble understanding, will become enlightened being. Enlightened beings are beings that are very noble in all aspects of life. First is the understanding of life. That's why this one can also be referred to as the full summary of the secret of life. Means all of life within our existence, he can summarize them here. And to make it complete, it must have both the mundane and the supramundane. So full summary must consist both mundane and supramundane aspect. Mundane, as we all know, yeah? Within the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha's first noble truth, the noble truth of dukkha, that one explained to us, this first noble truth of dukkha explained to us all of the realities of life and existing and existence within the mundane aspect. Yeah. So this one is realities of life and existence, covering all the mundane aspect. Just within one noble truth, it covers all of the mundane aspect. So as we all have gone through, what is the first noble truth of dukkha? The Buddha proclaimed the eight realities, isn't it? He said there are eight realities within life, where each and every living being, if you live life long enough, you will have to confront them. And they will cover all aspects of our life, especially the mundane aspect. So here, we have to really expand on the understanding. Because many people think there is only the spiritual aspect. Here, actually, it's not spiritual aspect. It's reality of life and existence covering all the mundane aspect. Of course, there are spiritual teaching inside there. Yeah. Because according to the Buddha, these are the realities common to all of humanity or living beings. No matter who you are, they exist within our existential world. If you don't have the Dharma understanding and you confront them without understanding, suffering will be the result. That is the first noble truth. And the eight reality can summarize to us all of life. Okay? So we go through the common one, the first four. Birth, old age, sickness, and death. And that itself is a very big topic. Yeah. Because every living being that are born into this world will have to confront birth followed by old age, sickness, and death. And old age, sickness, and death is a very big topic in life. Well, most people when they are young, they are not so exposed to old age, sickness, and death. That's why most of them don't have much idea about what that realities are. But after living life for some time, especially Kayamita who are above 50, 60 years old, or those 70, like myself, coming to 70, and those 80 would have experienced a lot, then you will truly have better understanding of what birth is all about. Old age, sickness, and death, or it include aging, suffering, misery, whatever that is associated with living beings or for our case, human beings existed. Because we have to go through these phases of birth, old age, sickness, and death. And These four reality can be very traumatic if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, and it's not easy to confront them. That you want to put it as disease, sickness, maybe it's traumatic disease and all those things. Then as you age, you will develop a lot of what they call suffering, misery, bring about by the failure of the senses. Our senses, as we age, we will deteriorate. Our immune system, everything. That's why aging brings about a lot of changes to our life. There are a lot of things we used to have the ability to perform and do, we no longer can as we age. Then the disease, suffering, and misery that follow. The burden of memories, especially your accumulated scars of memory, phobia, all of the mental problems that is associated with life while you go through that phase of living life or going through existence. Not many people have the understanding. Unless you have the Dhamma awakening, you cannot cope. So that's why there are a lot of suffering in this world. So the first noble truth, sometimes they also put it as prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere, like the Buddha said. Well, this is a reality. As you confront them without wisdom, you suffer. And here, the first four already big topic. Then after that, he will include the missing one. When you experience separation. Separation not only from your loved ones, from your prized possession, the thing that you hold on to dearly, your loved ones, etc. And all your whatever possession which you deludedly thought you own and you have them. Yeah. Then there can also be separation of relationship when there is relationship failure like marriage and all those things. Then being jilted, yeah? Being cheated, being deceived, a lot of things. So separation itself can be very traumatic. It even cover your wealth, businesses, everything. That's why we have economic crisis and various type of crisis. And nature's disasters are also included when they arise. It triggers a lot of suffering because separation will happen. Then nature's calamity can bring about a lot of disaster and separation. Then after that, the next one is when you are with people whom you don't like. That one, you experience them everywhere. Not only within your family life, within your career environment, within the whole of society, everywhere when you encounter people. Sometimes road bullies or street bullies, or even in the school, yeah, they also have those gangsterism, all those things in society and all aspects of life. Then beyond that, of course, you also have those very difficult situations when you are being abused by maybe your in-laws, especially mother-in-laws, or all those people who take advantage of their staff or their employee. And sometimes within the family, they take advantage of their own children and other things. Then the seventh reality is also a very major one, very common. The Buddha said when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met, it brings about suffering if you don't have the wisdom and the understanding. Yeah. So this seven alone, yeah, cover very extensively within our life, within existence. Then the balance of it, of course, he summarized it under the eight reality. He said, in short, it is due to our sakayadity or self-delusion that conditions us to believe that we exist as a living being or as a human being. And this self-delusion is the one that will condition us to cling, attach, and grasp onto this so-called five aggregate of form and mind. So all of our life suffering comes from this final summary. So he said, if you delude the grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind, believing that you exist, you are real, and this is what you are, a permanent unchanging entity, then you will be trapped. Then the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion will manifest. And when they manifest, it will trigger off suffering. That's why the Buddha said, in short, the final summary is due to our sakayadity that condition living beings to grasp at the five aggregates of form and mind, which we call the grasping aggregate. And this is what suffering is. So this summary will cover all of the other aspects within life, the reality. That's why one overthrow can cover the whole spectrum of existence, life. And this is just the mundane aspect. Then to realize a supramundane aspect, the Buddha continued with the second noble truth. And this second noble truth explained clearly to us the cause of arising of this suffering. So as we all know, the cause is due to craving, born of sakyadity, self-delusion, and ignorance. So knowing what suffering is, the reality, the eight reality that can condition suffering, and knowing the cause behind, which is mainly attachment, clinging, grasping, born of sakyadity, then we can, to a certain extent, begin to understand life. Then in order to manage our life better, we need to look at these two noble truths in its essence and develop the understanding so that we can understand these two noble truths and we can improve the way we live our life so that we are not entangled with these realities. Yeah. So knowing the cause behind, we will know how to manage our life. Then we know how to untie all this. Or this, you reverse, develop the understanding to reverse all this delusion so that you are not trapped in it, you are not deceived by it or confused by it. So these two are still within the mundane aspect. Then the Buddha moved on to the third noble truth. These two, they are more related to the supramundane aspect, third noble truth. Yeah. Then you have the fourth noble truth. So this third noble truth is actually to realize the supramundane aspect. Because under the third noble truth, the Buddha said suffering need not be. If you have the understanding of this teaching or the wisdom born of the three turnings. These three turnings will give rise to the corresponding three type of wisdom. So if you have this three turning wisdom, then suffering need not be. So this third noble truth is the noble truth of cessation of dukkha. Suffering can come to an end, and the realization of its cessation, which is nibbana, can be realized. And this is to enable living being to transcend life, to go beyond birth and death, to realize the enlightenment. That's why it's called the supramundane aspect of life. So this one is the realization of nibbana. So once you develop the wisdom, the mundane mind that realizes itself will cease. But you must have the wisdom born of this teaching. Then the moment it ceases, you will realize the supramundane awakening, which is the unconditioned. So this realization of Nibbana is the realization of the unconditioned Dhamma that can free you from birth and death. After that, no more becoming. Yeah. Then the Buddha didn't really stop here. It's like telling you that this one is possible, but didn't explain to you how you can realize it. That's why under the Fourth Noble Truth, he teaches how we can develop the awakening, the cultivation of it. So under this Fourth Noble Truth, he said, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. He said, this Noble Eightfold Path, which was realized by him, if you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering, means the realization of Nibbana. That's why these two are the supramundane aspect of life. So when you realize the third noble truth, through the cultivation, we are the fourth noble truth, then it can allow you to develop the wisdom and the enlightenment to transcend life. And when you transcend life, then you can lead the noble life of an enlightened being. That's how this teaching becomes very powerful and very unique. It not only enables you to understand life, it can also give you the wisdom to live life. And you can really come and live within the existential world. It may be like not so real, not what you think, hey no you, hey no me, but there is such thing as life, existence. So all this is not just theory, yeah, or knowledge. It can be realized and it can be a living reality. That's why the moment I saw the Four Noble Truth in the year 1971, just in the book, nobody explained anything to me. My nature knew, that's it, no need to search. But who in this existence can summarize all of life in such clear manner? Now, after knowing the Dhamma, you try, yeah, to develop this understanding. Are you able to develop this understanding? Initially, I thought everybody was like me. Once you see this, that is what you need, Anasana, to understand life and to live life and to transform. But then, later on, after 1989, I realized very few people can even come near to the understanding of it, not to say cultivate it and realize it. And it's like so alien to most human beings. And most people are not interested in what this Four Noble Truth is all about. Especially the three turning. I think in the Theravada tradition, very seldom taught what that three turning is. Only mentioned by a few, maybe a handful of Theravada monks. But most of them never pay attention to a three turning. But this three turning is the most useful, most powerful. Yeah, it is in the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, clearly stated by the Buddha. If he had not understood this Four Noble Truth in its three turning and its 12 aspects as a bodhisattva at that time, he cannot proclaim to be the enlightened being, to be the noble ones. See? Sakyamuni Buddha at that time also need to go through all this three turning, understanding. What more us as living being, cultivators of the way. That's why this three turning is a very extensive cultivation. First, listening, Sutamaya Panya. At that time, they can only listen. That's why listening to the, we call it what, the suttas, the discourse of the Buddha. And if you can develop the understanding of it, or from your past you have cultivated it, then there is a type of wisdom or understanding that will manifest. And that is the first turning wisdom. Yeah. And normally that one, you need to have your past cultivation to really have the ability to awaken from it. Otherwise, you need to go for second turning. Yeah. Second turning, the way it's taught is very beautiful. He said, after hearing, if you cannot get much out of it, you should go for second turning. You should reflect, contemplate, and inquire into this teaching. Why did the Buddha say all this, proclaim all this teaching? How can I develop the understanding of it? So through all this contemplation, reflection, inquiry, the understanding will slowly, slowly stabilize and crystallize. Then it will be assimilated into your nature. Then from that understanding, it will prepare you to receive further truth to awaken. Then after that, you develop mindfulness, awareness, sati, heedfulness, apamada. Then from there, the silent mind that has the ability to be aware will insight into phenomena and awaken. And that's how the third turning, bhavana maya panya, wisdom born of bhavana, meditative training, practice, cultivation. So bhavana is about mindfulness. That's why in the teaching, under the Abhijja Sutta, after going through all the first initial five steps, you realize the first stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood. Then you will develop step six and step seven of the Abhijja Sutta. Means you will have the ability they call it the three type of right conduct. And before that, you already develop sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. Then you cannot break your precept already, which means sense restraint, which is the sixth step of Abhijja Sutta. You will be able to do it. But you have mindfulness. Then you have the sati is mindfulness. Sampajana is clear comprehension. The direct seeing, the awakening, the wisdom. That will enable you to have the sense restraint. Because with that understanding, you more or less understand the Four Noble Truths. Especially the first and second Noble Truths. Your life, you decide. You will no longer be deluded as to go back to the old heedless way to get yourself entangled again. Understand? So that's why sense restraint automatic fall into place. Then after that, when you have sense restraint, you cannot develop the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action anymore. That's why the three type of right conduct will fall into place. Then after that is step eight, cultivation of one. Step eight is what? Cultivation of? Four foundation of mindfulness. Very good. Yeah. Inbi develop the understanding. That's why you need sati, mindfulness. The foundation of mindfulness to help you cultivate the four foundation. So all these are in the teaching. And they are very clearly spelled out. So when it comes to bhavana, it's all about sati. No more contemplation, reflection, inquiry. That one is still through the what they call creative mind. Not really in sati. It's through a type of mind that has been trained to have this what they call clarity, but not in complete sati. Clarity in the sense that it's like you are in that state of what they call inquiry. You really have the spiritual zeal, tenacity to develop the understanding. So you go all out and contemplate, reflect and inquire. So the mind is actually in a state of what do you call, like a talented musician. They are in the state of creativity. You know what is creativity? Means that nature, when they contemplate, reflect, is very creative. They are not lost in thought, one understand. They are not worrying about life and all those things. All these wrong thoughts are not there. The mind has clarity. That's why we call it the creative mind that can give rise to understanding. That can only happen if you contemplate, reflect. Means you throw out that inquiry. You don't even think, understand? Not? Then you let the inquiry lead you through the recollection, where you have past life experience and memory of what these things are. Like birth is suffering. Why? Inquire. So you throw out, why is life suffering or birth is suffering? Then you look at the recollection process of birth. During birth, what happened? As that one arise, the creative nature will develop the understanding and awakening. Then this is the second turning wisdom that can arise through constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry. The first one is listen. Keep on listening, listening, listening. Listen until the thing go in, until it stabilizes. Then reflect, contemplate, inquire. But the third turning, everything is about bhavana. The third turning wisdom is all about what we call enlightenment in the here and the now. That's why when it comes to the third turning, the first noble truth or dukkha, instead of is to be understood, has already been understood. Understand? Means what? You have developed the wisdom and the awakening, and you have understood what it is. Then the cause of arising or suffering has been severed. Means you can root it off already. You can sever it already. Means you have the wisdom already. Then the cessation of dukkha, which is the realization of nibbana, has been realized. That's why everything is about enlightenment after the bhavana practice, the cultivation. Then this noble eightfold path, the fourth noble truth, has already been cultivated. So everything is linked to the three turning, the third turning, which is bhavana aspect, meditative awakening. Okay, so this summarizes to you what I want to share with you all, so that you can develop the clear understanding of why the Buddha's teaching is so unique and so special and amazing, because it is really something that humanity need to understand. It's not just the essence of the Buddha's teaching, and hardly anybody really point out what this word noble truth is. It refers to noble ones. It can make you enlightened beings. Then how to link all this teaching to life, to what is actually being taught by Sakyamuni. That's why under the Lotus Sutta, the explanation, the what they call elaboration of the teaching is very different. And you need cultivator of the way of great beings to explain to you all this. Unless you have gone through the cultivation and you have developed the stability or understanding through constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry, then you expand on it through your own understanding. Like in the last book, I explained all this. So hopefully, with all this, you all can benefit more. Okay, exactly 9:49. So we can end here. So I will mark this page. Oh, we didn't move. We only in the sutra, the first part of the sutra. Okay, it's the same page. So we are now back to our second session. Ah, Jin Hao, come. We have somebody who just came back from retreat. So he will take over to report the retreat and whatever he wants to report. It can be today's sharing or anything that you have gone through while at the retreat, helping out and also attending the retreat with his mother and his sister. He is a very good son, fellow piety, bringing the mother and the sister along to develop the understanding of this unique teaching of the Buddha. Okay, Chinhao, over to you.
Good evening, Brother Tim, Mr. Steele, and all Kayamita.
So
there was actually two parts of the retreat. The first part was I was actually helping out. The helping out was a bit busy because I was running in the meditation hall initially, and then later on there was some problem in the kitchen. You see, so the teacher asked me to go into the kitchens to solve, observe and see what happened and all those things. So that gave me an opportunity to really observe the people behaviors. Right. That's why you can notice that everyone have their own style, especially the kitchens. Right. And it's a very challenging job in the kitchen because you have to manage so many people and all come from all part of different worlds. All right. And you don't know them, yet you have to allocate job to them and some of them, they don't know how to cook before, not even in the kitchen.
Background, without proper skill, training, and experience, and you need to make do with what you have. So these are the things that a lot of wayplays they encounter. That's why you need true and sincere volunteer. That one not so easy to find. But not bad. So for you to learn all this, but this is part and parcel of life. Not only you see the one in society, this one is in a retreat format where people try to help organize all this. So through all this exposure, you will learn. Then there's a lot of Dhamma there, like you say, you start to observe and understand how different people with different background and different training, how it created the situation then it's not easy to plan for all these people. And not everybody will listen to you because they have their own views, opinion, and maybe way of understanding things. So conflict and misunderstanding tend to be like quite common. And easily manifest unless the person in charge is experienced, has the Dhamma, skillful. It's not easy. Continue.
General. So the right thought and the right speech is very important. This really play a very important role, because you have to talk sincerely and nicely to the person, you see. And the thought arise and the view, right view, are also very important. Will manifest into the situation, is it? And the second part was that I came back for a few days and then I brought my mothers and sister there, is it? And that was the part where I actually be the students. Alright. And before that, I always have a questions that say, when I was doing lying down, see, and why is after detecting my heartbeat, then sudden after a while, then it gone, is it? Then only this retreat, I found I got the answer. The heartbeat is always there.
Yeah,
it's just that I was lost in thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Or I doze off.
Mm.
So that's why I say, now I realize that it's not because I cannot detect the heartbeat, so it was because I was lost, is it?
Because the understanding actually brings about the transformation. It's not the thought that worry about how come last time I can do, now I cannot.
Yeah.
But that one is the thought. That one is the one that actually make you miserable. That one is the one that condition you into negativity. Then you feel like lack of confidence, lack of faith. They say, what happened? Maybe coming obstruction. The thought start again. Forget about all this. Understand or not? Always remember wisdom free, understanding free. So you need to have understanding to overcome all this. That's why in the early days, I actually reminded Brother Song many times until later he got it. I said, this is still the thought, trying to analyze, trying to reason. So this is the way of the thought. That's why later on when he understand, he saw the duality. How duality create conflict, misunderstanding, even among yourself. Because that one which the Buddha taught, he always mentioned this. Kalama Sutta, you remember? He advised a Kalama, you must question what people tell you. Yeah, the Kalamas asked the Buddha, is it? Everybody, teacher that come, they claim to be the enlightened one, their religion as the supreme one, the true one. So which one should we follow? The Buddha say, you don't have to follow anyone. You investigate yourself, is it? You must question what they tell you. Yeah. If they ask me to do all this, if I were to follow and do, the two questions, will it harm you? Will it hurt you? Yeah. If it does not harm you or cause any negativity of coming or what to you, then no problem. Give it a try. So that check is very important. That check apply not only to what people tell you, to your own thought, understand? What your thought tell you, understand? That's why doubt is a mental hindrance, understand? When you're not sure, you doubt in it. How come last time can do, now cannot? Who is saying all this? The thought. And it comes from what? Lack of faith, understanding. The lack of faith is due to lack of understanding. That's why it creates the uncertainty or the what we call doubt. So in Krishnamurti term is, he said, wherever there is choice, there is confusion. Because you have to choose. So you choose what? Because you ask yourself, last time I can do, why now I cannot? So there is a choice. Why? And yet you cannot understand. Then your thought will give you answer. Maybe coming obstruction. Maybe I didn't practice enough. But all this got nothing to do with understanding. Understanding is what? The four support.
Yeah.
Do you have them? Do you have the understanding that without thought, you're already aware? And that sati cannot out of nowhere come to you. Understand? You need to develop it through understanding. When you understand the four support, relax. Check. Are you relaxed? If not relaxed, the answer is already there. Understand? Then after that, can you maintain awareness? You cannot do all this, then how can the third support come in? Stabilize awareness. Not until you can stabilize, you cannot detect the heartbeat. Because that mindfulness is still not developed, not stabilized yet. So don't worry. Tell the thought, forget about it. You have nothing to do with that. It's the understanding. Do I understand what is causing all this? That's why origin. Yeah, the cause of arising of all this wrong thought that trigger off the suffering. So question the thought, if I continue to think like that, does it harm me? It make you deluded, isn't it? Full of doubt, isn't it? Mental hindrance all coming in, isn't it? And this is suffering. This is not the solution. That's why when you question your own thought, you actually break free. This is what Bayong Kati did. Yeah. When he turned it around, he said, if I think this wrong thought, what happened? Miserable, suffer. So without this thought, I was peaceful. Then how come I go and hold on to that thought, which is the wrong thought that conditioned us? That's why she come out of it. Means these are all wrong thoughts that condition your suffering, your misery, your karmic negativity that brings about downfall. So all these are the understanding that can break free from that mundane thinking process, the duality created by the mundane mind. And this mundane thinking, if you don't have the wisdom to understand that they are dependent, originating, condition arising, phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity, not you. Thought come and go, you didn't die. So why do you say, I cannot feel, I cannot detect the heartbeat? There is no I behind. It is the understanding that liberates the mind. Then from that understanding, you will know how to train that mind to return to its original state, which is tranquility, stillness, and before the arising of thought. And that is your true mind, your silent mind. So always remember, go back to understanding. When you understand, you're free. Without understanding, you get yourself entangled. Okay, and you continue.
Yeah, I know. That's why I say that later on, I also discover the understanding and also the awareness that will keep me stay through the whole lifestyle sections.
The retreat.
Because because I later on I there are a few sections whereby when I was doing lying down, I'm able to maintain the awareness throughout.
Very good.
That's how I discovered that it wasn't that I was not able to detect my heartbeat. It was because I was lost in thought.
Yeah.
Lost of
because this, you get too conditioned with the thinking. Well, that is your habitual tendency that you have not rooted out.
Yeah.
Because that one needs stability or understanding to see clearly, then only it can cease. But it's a habitual tendency. Like Song came to know. All these are your past habitual tendency that arise through all the lack of mindfulness and heedfulness that condition living being into that state. That's why he said most living being has been playing the game of duality for too long. And all these are your habitual thinking, your habitual fear, worry, anxiety, doubt. All these are within the sankhara activity. And these are mundane activity that cause your lack of sati. Because mental hindrance is the cause. Without the mental hindrance, the mental faculty take over. Once without mental hindrance, there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why the most powerful one is the doubt, the fear, the lack of faith and all those things. Then the lack of understanding. Yeah. So when you don't have the understanding, your habitual tendency is like and dislike, sensual desire, ill will, then sometimes you will condition you into sleepiness because you did not develop the virya to really investigate all this and go into all this, because your spiritual zeal not there, then they become sleepy. But you all have gone beyond that. Most likely, that sleepiness will not affect you anymore. But sometimes restlessness of mind, doubt. And these two are very powerful too. The first two, sensual desire and ill will, you can check with mindfulness on. Whatever like and dislike, like Song came to know, good meditation and bad meditation, that itself is craving, positive and negative. You cannot free because it's so deeply ingrained. When you meditate, you look for what? Good meditation. able to experience the peace, the tranquility, the stillness. Then later on, you heard relative say, can have the mindfulness to detect heartbeat very good. So you look for heartbeat. But when you understand already later on, it's not only can detect heartbeat, but that is the first thing that will manifest. Because ability to be aware is the first sign of progress. So when you can be aware, the heartbeat is automatic. But when you are aware, wherever you locate your mind, it's sensitive. It detects. Then not only heartbeat, any vibration anywhere. Then wherever you are, if you are relaxed and aware, the sensitivity builds up. That's why all your bodily tactile vibration or whatever. At first, like very gross, pounding. Then you silent, let it be. Then you slow down. Yeah. Like just now, the instruction. Yeah. So you just relax into it, maintain awareness. Then whatever arise, aware, finish. So this will decondition your heedless thinking. So every time you can be aware and don't allow things to arise, means do not allow it to proliferate or continue to play with it or be distracted by it and enticed by it. So let it pass. Where everything that arise will pass away. But this is the way nature is. The present moment is the only reality. Everything arise, pass away. Arise, pass away. Tattva also same. Consciousness also same. Come and go, come and go. But the ability to stay with the awareness without any thought activity to distract you and to draw you away to create the mundane thinking, that is awareness-based meditation. So that understanding need to slowly, slowly stabilize and crystallize. And then you will progress. Then in future when you meditate, no need to do anything. Straight away, you will know how to go into the relaxation. Then you realize everything fall into place. No need to like, why last time can, now cannot. All those gone. Yeah. Okay, you continue. Yeah. You are going through all these phases, which is very good.
And this time I get again a better understanding about the true mind and the mundane mind. Because
that is very good.
Whether I was doing the sitting meditations or lying down, when I was able to stay in my heart, concurrently, I still able to, the thought still wandering around, is it?
At the background.
Yeah,
that's right. You know why it arises. Well, this thought are respond to memory that you have accumulated.
Yes.
So this is the one that has the, what they call, the response to memory. This one is like the habitual thinking and manifestation from that memory. That's why human beings that are not trained in mindfulness and awareness, they think a lot on. They cannot stop the thinking on. And the fear, worry, anxiety, all the hidden phobia, everything trapped inside. And they can never get it released until they have a good sleep, deep sleep. And most people cannot. They go and look for psychiatrists, take the what they call medication. Then initially maybe they call sleeping pill, tranquilizer, tranquilize you and make you doze off. But to develop awareness, you have to develop the ability to stay aware, not stay conscious now. Stay conscious is like a normal human being, conscious of life, but you are not aware from within. Aware means from within. That awareness is aware, not a being. No. It's the awareness that is sensitive, that has clarity, that can know the movement, the thought, the thinking, the activity, the emotion, the reaction, everything that the form and mind try to manifest, aware. When you're aware, you understand what is going on. That's all. When you are lost in thought, you cannot develop the understanding. The thought is taking you around, understand or not? Like going to Holland everywhere and forgot where you are and don't know how to come back. So when you are in that state, that thinking is too active, heedless. Then it gets itself entangled everywhere through sakayadity, lack of understanding. Good. Continue.
That's why I always say that it's like a two layer, is it? The surface layer is the thought, is it?
Yeah.
The deeper layer is the true mind where
you
stay in the part. So it's just like where your awareness, when you are aware with your thought, I mean, sorry, aware with your heartbeat, the thought is like lesser, less power. But somehow or other, because my awareness was not strong, it was pulled away, is it? Carried away. But yet, because this time the mindfulness is slightly better, so I noticed that, you know, then, you know, it just come back. So it's like a exercise, kind of like...
Yeah, like duck a wall.
Like a wall.
You know why or not? Because this habitual thinking, before you are mindful, you cannot see. They are actually everywhere, every moment. As a, then when you start to develop some form of awareness, mindfulness, then you haven't reached the stability or tranquility or stillness where it becomes very quiet until like suddenly no thought. The whole thing like stop for a while. And that is the beautiful moment. One moment of no thought, understand? That one is very important. That is your true mind, you know, without content. You know. And to realize that is not easy. That's why you need to relax, maintain awareness until all the thinking stop. This one need training, need understanding. The moment you have doubt, you go and think. You know. Then sometimes, especially like you going through your, this one is also interesting. There are many people after they go into it, they will reach your state. You like finally get back your ability to be aware and happy. But this is like your anchor. So from your anchor, you have that habitual thinking mind that want to know, which you didn't know. Which you, without you knowing it, is there. That's why it's habitual thinking haven't stopped. Then it want to know. That's why you see, you think there are two layers. It's actually not two layers. Because the awareness is always there. The awareness was there before any of this aggregate of mind can arise. And I explained to you already last time. Our nature, the awareness, is spacious awareness. Spacious awareness, then how did thought arise? Thought arise through memory. So this memory, which you don't need to focus on, not like the other senses. The other senses you need to focus on, like seeing consciousness. You have to have the object, like the Buddha Rupang or external color, shape and form. Then you shrink that spacious awareness to that space, then you perceive it through your memory. Understand? But when it comes to the brain, the thought, there is no eye or ear or the senses to go there, understand? It's already with the memory cell there, understand? Then all the perception, everything is already there, understand? That's why that one, like non-stop, that thinking inside there, when you sleep, you think you sleep, huh? That thing is still there. That's why you sometimes release as dream and all those things. So that respond to memory, that thought, with its habitual thinking and all those things, that one is all the time there. And whether you are aware of it depends on your state, your mindfulness. When you are really aware, when you can stay there long enough until it stabilizes, then all this movement later on, it will become like it slow down first, then finally like up here the brain, no more thinking. Everything like last time I told you the dynamo, the movement and all, like your two layer becomes suddenly like it slow down by itself. Then you will know through the awareness. All this thinking like it start to slow down. Then suddenly it stopped. Huh? Of course, I used the word "peng," but actually no sound inside there. Huh? Well, it's just like middle of the night. Huh? When all the car and the traffic no more, huh? You can feel the stillness, isn't it, of the night. Huh? Those who study at night, huh? I think my daughter, they all know. It's like very quiet or no, suddenly in the middle of the night. Huh? Because all the vibration no more. You know what are these vibrations or not? Your mental chattering, understand? Your verbalization, all this is making sound up there, understand? Your thought is responding to me. So all this is very noisy, understand? That's why when you don't do anything, it loses its power. Like Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. How does it flower? Don't give it any more energy, like the flower, cut it out. Means no more nutrient from the plant, understand? That's why the flower, when you buy fresh, it will remain fresh for a while, but it will decay. And the aging process will start. So this flower, because it hasn't fully blossomed, it will continue to flower, understand? That's why sometimes the flower hasn't opened up, it bud, and by the time it finish, when all the nutrient that is left in the stem, all used finishedly, then it can never flower anymore. Yeah. Then what happened? It will start to decay. So our thought process is the same. When the delusion, the mental hindrance that condition the thinking is cut off, the fuel all cut off, means you no longer curious, no longer want to know, no longer want to do. That's why I say, don't try to know, don't try to do. Just relax, maintain aware. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. You do that, you will start to decondition the healers. There's no more energy. Think also like that, don't think like that. Why you go and think? Sankara anichang, sankara dukkang. Forget about it. Just let things be silent. Then it will slow down, slow down. You must witness that slowing down. That slowing down, when you can hit that, it's very good already. But most people cannot. Most people, maybe once a blue moon, they suddenly encounter it. Then after that, they get excited. What is that? Whole thing start again. But after you have stabilized the understanding and you can do it already, like what happened in the year end of 88, I think, before 89. When I had the understanding, I told you, I came out to the private sector to test myself. Yeah. Then as a career and civil engineer in the private sector, there are a lot of things that I need to read up and develop the understanding to attend meeting and all those things. So during that time, I was halfway through the transformation. Actually, I cannot read the awareness would tell me, if you want to suffer, you read. But luckily, my experience was there. So I had no need to really like try to understand, focus. No, I can just glance through, then write down the point. That's why I say, write down. Don't go remember. Because the memory cannot work really. Well, it's starting to become non-grasping already. It's not holding on to anything. That's why after that, I cannot remember thing unless there is condition for it to recall. So what happened is, when you go through that phase, it becomes like very easy. You know? I just relax. Even after office, I came back. Then I have my bath. Then normally we all meet at my second last teacher there for meditation. And so when I went there, after a tired day, when I reached, I sat down. Then I silenced my mind. I saw the dynamo up here. The Sankara, still there. What I did in the office. I try to remember things. I try to resolve. So I saw that thing still there. Then I just have the understanding. Sankara nichang, sankara dukkang. I just relax into it, maintain awareness. Then I saw it slowing down. Then, not long, initially maybe take 3 minutes or what, then stop, completely stop. Then later on, take less than 1 minute. The moment I relax, silent, less than 1 minute, come on. Then I know already, it's not a problem already, it's the understanding. The moment you understand all this is, that's why you don't go through, you can never develop the understanding. And this phase you are going through is very good, because it's the initial phase, because the memory there is still coming up. So understand what Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of that thought is a very ending. So don't feed it anymore. Don't be curious. Don't try to know. That's why I said, don't try to know, don't try to do. Who do? Who try to know? The thought. It becomes active again. So relax, maintain awareness, whatever arrives, let it pass. Let it pass. Nothing to do with you. Let things be. And then this thing was deconditioned. Your new way of living is aware, finish. Aware, finish. And then it will start to stabilize. Then you realize once this one kick in, this one, no more nutrient, no more energy to the thought energy to make it manifest, then you realize all this slow down. You can see the slowing down. Your awareness is aware. Then when it really stops, wow, really nice. Really, you will be amazed. Oh. Not even a single thought activity. You try to look for thought. No thought at all. The awareness nature is so beautiful. That is so tranquil. So then that time only you understand what that true mind is. The silent mind. The awareness nature inside. It's completely different. Not what you experienced earlier. Then as you develop the stability of it, this awareness nature start to shine forth. It start to become like more and more prominent to you. Then this thing like the whole thing slowly, slowly open up. Initially, you hardly can detect it on. Very difficult to detect on. Then later on, it's like slowly, slowly open up. Then after quite some time only, it starts to like expand. Then you feel like hollow inside. Like inside there, nothing. Nothing. That nature. But that nature, when you are aware there, a lot of very beautiful understanding and energy move inside there. Then the fourth support thrust, it will move by itself. No thought involved. No memory, conditioning, views, opinion, or activity. It's everything that nature do. The awareness nature just move and do. Where you want to be aware, where at one location, it will move by itself. Yeah, it has the understanding and the intelligence. Then where it's supposed to activate and release or whatever, it will go and do. Then I remember initially is a lot of byproduct of it is gaseous. That's why that time a lot of phenol, gas and all those things. But these are the process and transformation that cultivator will go through. So luckily you report, otherwise there is no condition for me to share. You continue, Chino.
Yeah, and for the sitting meditations, I can easily from Anapana go to heartbeat, you see. Yeah. And also I aware that when I was in the heartbeat, the breath was very subtle.
Yeah.
You can stay at a heartbeat there. Then this one also become very subtle.
Yes.
Until you also cannot detect it later on. That one is the mind want to enter sati. So anchor it at the heartbeat or anywhere that you can detect the most prominent vibration, stay there. Just stay there. When you stay there, you realize you cannot think one. You can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware there or you are lost in thought. So most of the time when you don't have the ability to be aware there, then this mundane mind come out already. So either you are aware or lost in thought. Then sometimes when you are aware, all this, because it haven't stopped, like the brain there on the manifestation of thought process, it's like very near the tuffalo. This thought keep on coming out. Then it's like, the one that is aware is different. But this thing cannot stop because you haven't reached that stability, the understanding. And you have not stabilized the understanding. That's why all this take time, unless you have your past cultivation. And then this line you come, you become very different. Like for my case, the moment I knew the gateway, everything just happened. Because without detecting the gateway, I already can develop the mindfulness and the awareness on my own until I had to slow down. But there was no outlet, nothing to release all this energy until the gateway come. The gateway come, all this energy that you develop and build up, even at the heart area or whatever, it will melt through the gateway, become pure energy. Then after that, the whole meditation becomes so different. That is really awareness based. Because initially, before I detect the gateway, I cannot go into my nature. My awareness is all external, surface. But there is an awareness which has not gone in. It's at the heart there. It can be aware of the heart, be aware of a lot of things. It can stay there, it can anchor there. But cannot go in because the gateway was not. Until I met my last guide, then I already know how to relax, maintain awareness, and 24 hours means stabilize the awareness until I'm throughout the day aware. So these first three, I already did it before I met him. Then the trust is where the gateway come in. So all this is like expedited my training. I saved at least 10 years, if not 15 years. That's why I say at least 10 to 15 years is save me that window to search for the gateway. If on my own, my nature, no, it take me at least 10 to 15 years. But that was because of my vow. I vow to realize the highest wisdom at any one time when my nature arrived. So he has to come and he has to show me this one. Then the moment he showed it to me, his hand was 2 inches away from my heart. But the moment the hand come near, my nature detect that pure energy from him. Then I know where the gateway is. Then I completely become very still. Everything just melt into it. Just flow over. It's like water find its own level. The energy just flow over and melt inside. Then I become like completely still. My brain, everything still. No thought, no activity at all. But no cessation yet. The pure awareness is still there. But after that, after it transformed inside, I remember within 9 months, the Monday mind collapsed. But before that 9 months, the cessation keep on coming. That's why I went through that cessation of form and mind, the unconditioned cessation, many times that time. It keep on happening. Because the understanding is that think of that, don't think of that, just relax, silent, and then it went in. When I was in New Zealand, also it went in. Until my guide, he knew something happened, but he don't know what he did. He stand up. He was meditating behind the couch. I was meditating like that couch. I lie on the couch. The place you sit. He lie down there. Then suddenly, after I went into the cessation, I come out. He stand out and he look at me. What happened? I say, I don't know. So beautiful. I say, everything, like pure awareness also no more. Then when I come out of it, I told him, I understood everything. I said, the pneumonal and the phenomenal world. That's why I said, like, everything exists within the pneumonal. With that nature, the oneness nature. And the rest is creation from there. Understand? That's why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner. That's why the fifth patriarch, Tohei Ning, you remember? How amazing that this nature is already perfect by itself. And all Dhamma is never apart from that nature. Because all of the manifestation is all from that. Then you know that there is this oneness nature, the Buddha nature. Then from that nature, all things arise. That's why after that, I told him, I said, everything can be understood. I said, the whole creation is so beautiful. Then after that, he keep on telling me, he said, your way is the right way. He said, don't look for psychic. He keep on reminding me, don't play with energy and all those things. So that was what happened. I think we better end. I heard the alarm just now. Okay. Summarize. 1 minute.
Okay.
Or to be continued.
Yeah. Just only two points, but yeah, we'll maybe talk next week. Is it? But yeah. Yes, really. I think because have been listened to your talks, is it?
Yeah, all
the time. So, it give me an opportunity for me to sort of like settle down all the listening, so all the teaching, is it?
Yeah, really.
Sadhu.
Yeah, why will have you? You have been helping us doing the recording, then editing, listening, all things. So that one will help you a lot.
Yes.
Then as you understand, you will progress faster. Your sati, once stabilized, you will move very fast. You will move very fast. Then you will have a lot of joy.
Sadhu.
Okay. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now let us share merits. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakkantu lokasasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo vasat kalina sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole session. Sadhu.